Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
There we go. Indeed. So here we are now. Having surrounded our beloved Gaia Matrix, the Earth Mother, this wonderful, loving sound of You're with me, Jonathan Goldman.
And Andy Goldman.
And this is the second part of our World Sound Healing Day special, our Global Harmonization Day special. And World Sound Healing Day, of course, is a day when we basically have taken some time now, and we will continue to do so throughout the day. You know, we've got an event here in Boulder in some hours where we've got hundreds of people gathering to tone for about an hour. And there are events like this happening throughout the planet, and it's just so wonderful. And, you know, I think that there's a reason for all this. And what might this be? Well, first of all, let me thank again here at HealthyLife.net, and I want to thank Linda McKenzie and Jay Cruz for their time and their energy allowing this manifestation to occur on HealthyLife.net. And for the next hour, we've got, about half a dozen or more different spiritual scientists who are going to be coming on to talk about different aspects of using sound and consciousness for healing. And then at the very end, I created a very special recording, which works with the divine name. It's a, it's never been played before, and it is a guided meditation using the divine name. And all we do is listen to this sacred name of the divine, and we will once again be beaming love and light out through to the planet. But let us begin by giving a listen to a conversation I had a little while ago. This is just an excerpt of it with a gentleman by the name of Roger Nelson, Dr. Roger Nelson of Princeton, who is the creator and the head and the founder and director of the Global Consciousness Project out of Princeton, New Jersey. And he's a lovely, lovely being. So we've got a few minutes of Roger talking about some things that you may certainly find of interest and relevance to this and all days together. So shall we hear Roger Nelson? I thought that would be track number two. Are we ready? Okay.
We are ready, and we are delighted that you all are staying tuned in with us for this next hour. We have got some fabulous speakers that are going to be sharing their wisdom and their inspiration with us.
Indeed. Jay, you there? Hey, we are back with Jonathan Goldman and Dr. Roger Nelson on the Healing Sound Show. Roger is the director of the Global Consciousness Project, and basically if you want to find out about him, simply Google Global Consciousness Project, and you'll get a wealth of information. One of my thoughts or questions, just as an overall, is do we humans have, I mean, there are certainly, I think, spots that are obviously sacred, whether they're almost like acupuncture points on the planet or whatnot, but do we humans with our consciousness also have the ability through our ritual, our prayers, our sounds, etc., to actually change the vibratory field of different places and make them holy of holies also?
I think we do, and I think the whole earth is waiting for us, and there's every reason to believe that if the, you know, if we're patient, we'll see from their work in this network of monitoring systems, a similar kind of, well, recognition that human beings are effective in the world, that what we think and desire and how we feel matters to the physical universe, that it really changes the way things are.
You know, I mean, this concept is so huge and so important that, you know, it may be quite a while before there's, you know, some sort of data to really indicate that what we were just talking about is real, and yet I think that you and I and almost every person who's listening knows that this is true. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't be listening to us talking about the subject, because as we begin to, like, evolve and become more aware, we realize not only our interconnection between all beings, but our ability to somehow interface with all that is and co-create reality.
It feels deeply and strongly this kind of cooperative spiritual activity can help heal the divisions between people and our planet.
Which actually brings us up to World Sound Healing Day, and which is a day when we have people making, you know, the ah sound with love. And, you know, once again, we may have 15 million, or maybe we have 1,500 or 15,000, but I just like to believe that, you know, as has been suggested, the more highly attuned a human is, the greater their intention, the greater their love, the greater their compassion.
Right.
On a level, the less people you need in order to make the shifts and changes.
The quality is and quantity are not the same thing. And the desire and ability to love our planet, to love each other, has to be a goal that we set for ourselves for Valentine's Day, but also for the future.
Oh, for all days. I mean, you know, what I perceive of Rajan's, it's my belief that, number one, intentionalized sound is one of the keys to the reason that most prayers are basically vocalized on the planet, is that the sound amplifies the energy of the prayer, etc. And therefore, that, you know, this may prove to be one of the keys. And if we can get groups of community together to basically make intentionalized sound at specific pivotal points in our planetary development, it might be a really good thing.
Oh, yes. It will build a noosphere.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I just want to thank you so very, very much for the opportunity of speaking to you and hearing your wisdom. You're doing just a real blessed project.
It's been my great pleasure, Jonathan. As I said before, I admire your work hugely. It is essential and is probably exactly right that we need that in order to tune ourselves to a bright future.
Indeed. So there was Dr. Roger Nelson talking to us about the Global Consciousness Project and about measuring cooperative spiritual activity and how that can heal. And it's such an important aspect. It's so great that now, if you like, science, and particularly, you know, from everything from quantum physics to things we can't quite understand yet, are really beginning to validate the fact that we have the ability with our heart, our mind, and our spirit to make shift and change on our planet.
And now I'd like to take this moment to introduce our next guest, Howard Martin. And Howard Martin was on Jonathan's Healing Sounds show a while ago. He is the co-author of the Heart Math Solutions. He is a musician. He is vice president of Heart Math and Global Coherence Initiative. And, of course, we just completed our guided meditation where we were able to each of us have that experience of that heart-brain coherence. And this is Howard Martin now talking about that.
Indeed. Shall we listen to Howard? Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we are speaking with Howard Martin. I think that what I'm going to ask now is for him to talk to us about the Global Coherence Initiative. Last year at this time, my guest on the radio show was Roger Nelson from the Global Consciousness Project. And I believe now, Howard, you've been actually instrumental in getting HeartMath and the Global Consciousness Project to be working together and to do this new form. What is it?
Yeah, it's an organization, a membership organization, where you can go to and join for free. Global Coherence Initiative, glcoherence.org. It's where people are coming together from around the world. We have people from over 85 countries that are members, using their heart-focused care and their intention to really energetically influence the energetic field environment in ways that can create positive changes in society to move us out of chaos and confusion into more harmony and order and peace and that kind of thing. It's really about how do we increase the individual and collective coherence, allowing people's belief systems to be of any kind they want them to be. It's about a person really joining with others to increase their own level of heart coherence and then to use the power of their own thoughts, prayers, meditations, and intentions to join with others and create a better world. And so there are many organizations doing things like that, thousands really, around the world. Especially one of the things we do at HeartMath, we've created very sensitive field detectors that can measure changes in the Earth's energetic fields, in particular the ionosphere, which is a protective layer above the Earth, and also the geomagnetic field. So we have these sensor sites with these sensors that measure changes in the field. We combine that with Roger Nelson's random number generator technology, and then we correlate that data also with data we get from the U.S. government space weather satellites. And what we're doing is we're looking at the relationship between the Earth's energetic fields and us, people, humanity. We know from research, ours and certainly a large body of research from others, is that these fields do affect us. There's an energetic relationship between the Earth's energetic fields, which is part of the Earth as a living system, and who we are as human beings, how we act and behave. All those things are linked together. So we know that. And there's more research ongoing about all that because the fields are very complex. The hypothesis is this, though, that we have, is that mass human emotion, when it's experienced, whether it be positive or negative, could have a measurable, detectable impact on these fields. And so the sensor sites are there to look at that, to look at that and to inquire and to see if this hypothesis is true or not. What we're doing is amazing, really. We are doing research that's never been done before, looking at the interactions between human beings and the energetic fields from the perspective of the influence the humans have on the fields. Now, this is not trivial research. These fields are big and they're very, very complex. And even the academic literature around these fields is new, in a sense, and changing all the time. So this is experimentation that we're doing very carefully from a very empirical standpoint, taking our time, looking at things in a very, very systematic way to hopefully prove that this hypothesis is real. It's been a great project. I'm very, very excited about it. I remain excited about it.
Well, there we go. That was Howard Martin of the HeartMath Institute and the Global Coherence Initiative, and he was talking about detecting mass human emotions and their interaction with the planet and how it's a new science. Yes, it is, but it is real, and it's so important. That is, for example, you know, these are all the people that we're hearing from today are people who are talking about how our consciousness and can interface with that of the planet. And as I mentioned before, it has been shown that through our sound amplifies our field. And, I mean, this is one of the reasons why prayers on our planet are vocalized, they're spoken, they're whispered, they're chanted, they're sung. It's because, if you like, sound amplifies the power of our field. Okay, next we're going to be hearing from Dr. Dean Radin, who is the, if you like, head of the Noetic Sciences. He's going to be talking about a worldview of our planet and our planet as a living entity. So let us listen to what Dean Radin's got to say. He was a lovely being. Back here with me, Jonathan Goldman, and we have Dean Radin, who is just an extraordinary man and a scientist, a writer, a researcher, and he is basically the chief scientist of IONS. What is IONS, Dean?
IONS is the Institute of Noetic Sciences. It's been working there now since 2001. It was started by the astronaut Edgar Mitchell, who was the Apollo 14 astronaut, the sixth man on the moon. When Edgar was returning to the Earth, he looked out at the Earth and had an experience which most of the astronauts would later admit. In fact, I think all of them later admitted. And many of the shuttle pilots, too, the shuttle astronauts, said, you have this overwhelming sense of a mystical sense of connectedness with humanity because of the shocking realization that from space you look back at the Earth, it's a nice bright blue and white ball, and it looks fragile. The atmosphere can be seen, and it's extremely fragile. It's a very thin envelope that surrounds the world, and that's why we're here. So, in the blackness of space, space is pretty harsh. You can't last very long out there. And so the Earth is our only home, and our entire history is here, and everything we know is on this tiny, tiny little thing out there in space. So in Edgar, this realization sparked a classic mystical experience, which was very unexpected. And he came back to Earth and wondered then, as a scientist, what was that? How can I possibly have this mystical sense, which is a feeling of unity with the entire universe, that doesn't make any sense and never learned about it in science, and what is it? So he started the Institute of Noetic Sciences to study these kinds of noetic experiences, mystical and psychic and so on, using the tools of science, since that's the best way that we know how to study things so far. And so that's where our organization is now 40 years old, and we do original scientific research in the laboratory. That's what I do. We also have an educational program which focuses on worldviews. It's to teach mostly high school kids, but it's also suitable for younger students, about what a worldview is, but the fact that they have a worldview, and that other people have worldviews too. And that's been a very effective program, and it came about partially because that was part of Edgar Mitchell's concept as well, that you gain a worldview by literally looking at the world in the size of a little marble. You suddenly realize, oh, I had a very different perspective when I'm inside the marble than when I'm outside. And the moment that you have a worldview, and suddenly other cultures and other languages and other people, you gain a much greater tolerance for the ways that people can exist on this planet. And given the way that the politics and the world has gone, it's probably a good thing to teach children quite young not only that they have worldview, but to encourage the idea of tolerance for diversity.
It's probably not only a good thing, it's probably mandatory. So thank you for being part of this whole thing. IONS and your work is just great.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Dr. Dean Radin of the Noetic Sciences talking about. I love the idea that the, I don't want to say young people on our planet, are getting a worldview, realizing that we really need to work together to make a difference.
And I'd like to introduce our next guest, Roland McCready. He is a scientist, author of Science of the Heart. He is the director of research of the Institute of Heart Math and the Global Coherence Monitoring System. And we are now going to get inspired and hear the words of Roland.
Indeed, Roland McCready.
Yes, Dr. Roland McCready, and I asked him about three questions, and I guess the first one that I want to ask and give him time to answer is there an increase in the electromagnetic field or the geomagnetic field of the human being when our heart and our brain are in a state of coherence?
Okay, I would not say there's an increase in the magnitude or the strength of the field. What does change, what is important, is the information that is riding on that field. And just to give another part of that question, we measure these are literal magnetic fields, so we measure them with the devices called magnetometers.
Okay.
And it's exactly the same kind of magnetic field that your cell phone uses to communicate information. That's how cell phones work. So it's the information riding on the carrier wave. Now, in the case of your cell phone, the text, the picture, the voice, right? So you can be saying something that's very hateful to somebody and have an impact on them on a cell phone, or something very nice and kind. It works the same way with the fields of the heart. It's carrying our emotional information. Now, with that said, there, even though the strength of the field may not change, that information is critical in that when we're in a coherent state, coherence has the power, if you will, to organize noise. So it kind of cuts through, if you will, and organizes noise. And I don't know if you asked me this or not, but I think in terms of building up, I know the Sound Healing Day is coming up. This is really important because when we're more coherent, and obviously our own research has shown that certain types of, especially certain types of music or especially inner sounds that we make, is a source of information, and it also affects our emotions. And the whole other area of our research is showing, we've got magnetometers, very sensitive magnetometers, we're installing all around the world. We've got these sites in Saudi Arabia, Lithuania, New Zealand, here in California, Canada, and so on. So we're measuring Earth magnetic fields. So what we're proposing here is that the magnetic field of the heart, it turns out, and you'll know this from your sound work, Jonathan, but the rhythm when we're in a coherent state of the heart is exactly the same as the rhythms in the Earth's magnetic field, exactly the same. So when you have two frequencies that are the same, you can have resonance. So coherence is critical.
Are we talking about the Schumann resonance there, or not?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
Oh, and when you said the Earth's resonance, are we talking about the Schumann resonance?
No, this is that's one of them. The Schumann resonances overlap our brain waves.
Right.
But the if you think of the geomagnetic field, the field lines, those are flex lines, they're real things. When they interact with the solar wind, they vibrate. It plucks the string, just like guitar strings.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. A lot of people think that, 7.8 is it, but there's a whole variable.
Oh, there's many, many more, and it's actually the lower frequencies that are below the Schumann resonances that also have very profound biological effects on us humans.
No doubt. All right, big question. This is one, here's the drum roll talking about rhythms, and the question is this. Dr. McCready, is there a possibility that there can be some sort of global interconnectivity between the Earth's energetic systems and the human energetic system?
No question. We're doing studies right now, we're getting ready to publish several of them, that it's more than a possibility, it's a fact. And I would go so far as to say we're more deeply and fundamentally interconnected with each other and the Earth at an energetic level than we even thought we would find.
Oh, that's beautiful. So we can literally interface with the, I like to call it the Gaia Matrix, there are a million names for it,
sure.
The Noah Sphere, et cetera, but there seems to be some sort of interface that the human consciousness can have, yes?
Yes, indeed.
Well, this is beautiful to hear from the scientists, because I can, if somebody's channeling, one of the angelic beings from the Pleiades, that's one thing, but to hear you with all your degrees and all your knowledge acknowledging this, give such hope to myself and to, I know, so many people who are listening who say, this is real. This is real.
Yeah. The thing I hear most from a lot of people about our research is, God, thank you. You've confirmed what I already knew to be true.
Yeah. And this is, if you like, one of the things about, the fact that people, look at the scientific evidence and they go, so that which I've known now finally has been proven. And, what a blessing. What a blessing indeed.
What an incredible blessing. We are indeed all one.
Yeah, indeed. And you are, incidentally, tuned to HealthyLife.net. And today is World Sound Healing Day. It's the 16th annual World Sound Healing Day. And I want to, I'm Jonathan Goldman.
And I'm Andy Goldman.
And I want to suggest to anyone who hasn't visited, please go to
one of our websites, which is worldsoundhealingday.org, for more information on today and all sorts of different things. So we really give thanks on that one. And as long as I'm talking about websites, we have our own website, which I know you'll find of interest, and that's healingsounds.com. I know a lot of you who are listening know about healingsounds.com, but it's a great website, and we love it. We spend a lot of time just making it the best website that we can. So thank you all for listening.
And I would love to introduce our next guest. Is it ready? Is it time, Jonathan?
It is time, so you get to introduce our next guest. Okay, you can introduce our next guest.
Well, our next guest is someone who is very near and dear to both of our hearts, a dear, dear friend and colleague, Greg Braden. And Greg is an author, a spiritual scientist. He is the author of Divine Matrix, The Isaiah Effect, and Human by Design. And Jonathan had a fabulous interview with Greg, and it just always is inspiring to hear Greg speak, and their conversation is great.
Today on the line I have my very, very dear friend, Greg Braden.
Well, good morning, Jonathan. It's great to hear your voice. I'm absolutely thrilled to be on your program. I'm going to say good morning to all of our listeners this morning.
And I'd just like to suggest, because if we send and generate the energy of love and light through sound onto the planet as a coherent waveform, we can probably change consciousness.
Oh, absolutely. When we have spent a lot of time in the Tibetan monasteries.
Yeah.
I never really know how much is lost in when we're speaking through the translators, but when we've asked them the question, the parallels to the Judeo-Christian tradition are remarkable when it comes to this tone. Although we tend to think of, you know, the Buddhist and Tibetan Buddhist traditions being so very different, and they are in some respects, but what they've said to us was in the beginning, before this cycle, our cycle of creation happened, there was this nothingness, this void, and into the void, the Creator cast what was called a seed syllable, upon which the entire universe is based upon this foundational syllable, and the seed syllable that they talk about is the Om. So it's like the original sound. So in our Judeo-Christian traditions, the beginning was the word. In the Tibetan traditions, Tibetan Buddhist traditions, in the beginning was the sound or the song. And when they chant this Om, it's in celebration of that first second, the first nanosecond of creation when everything began. And I know when I think about that, when I create that sound and I think of it from that perspective, there's something, it's a mystical connection to the very beginning of everything, and to me that helps to fuel the emotion that underlies the sound. So if it created the first universe and we all do it again, are we creating new universes?
Right. Well, you know, I mean, it's probably one of the great creational sounds, and the ah sound also is a great creational sound. Go.
You know, what we're finding, the reason that the work of the Divine Matrix, I feel, is so powerful is because it's no longer a theory that this connection, this field is there. And in so many people's minds, it answers the questions and validates their personal power. You know, for people that have asked me, you know, we get a lot of emails, phone calls, letters, and live audiences. People say, you know, how could a prayer that I'm creating in my living room possibly have any effect on my loved one halfway around the world in the battlefields of Iraq, for example? And the Divine Matrix is the answer to that question. What we now know is that for prayer to have an effect beyond our bodies, there must be a conduit that prayer is moving through, and this field of energy, it's a non-conventional field of energy, and that's why it took scientists so long to find a way to measure it, because it doesn't work like a radio wave or a television wave. So we haven't had equipment that could measure it until recently. But this field is the conduit. It's the bridge between our inner and our outer worlds. And what we create in our bodies, our thoughts, feelings, emotions, prayers, and beliefs, the peace that we create in our hearts through those experiences is carried into the world in a very effective and very meaningful way. Now, there have been experiments that validated this back in the 1970s, 1980s. Some of those were, I think one of the most potent was called the International Peace Project in the Middle East, where a number of people were trained to feel the feeling of peace in their hearts rather than simply thinking it in their minds or praying for peace to happen. They were feeling the feeling as if the peace is already there. And they were trained, at that time they were trained through techniques, TM techniques, through Maharishi's meditative techniques that were taught during that time, and they still are today. Those people were placed in the Middle East during the Israeli-Lebanese War in the early 1980s, and what they found was that during the windows of time where they were simply feeling the feeling as if peace has already happened, they weren't saying, you know, the Israelis were the good guys or the bad guys, or Lebanese were the good guys or the bad guys, or there were no judgments about the war. They simply felt peace. Statistically, peace happened in a broad geographic region. Terrorist activities stopped. Crimes against people declined. Emergency hospital room visits declined. Traffic accidents declined. And when they stopped feeling those feelings, all those statistics reversed. And they did this experiment time and time again just to make sure it wasn't a fluke. You know, it wasn't just because of a holiday or a weekend or a lunar cycle, you know, or something like that. And we talk about this in the book. It's on the website. It was called the International Peace Project in the Middle East. The bottom line is they found out that when a threshold number of people create this feeling in their hearts, that all that can happen in this broad geographic region is the effect of peace.
And I'd just like to suggest that, I mean, you know, you working with belief and feeling and all that stuff to change this consciousness. One of the things that is still, I don't even say under investigation because I know it's true and it will be proved in not too distant future, is that vocalized sound, that prayer, basically amplifies this field.
Yeah, absolutely, and because the vocalized sound is the expression of what it is that we're feeling in our hearts. When those two are coordinated, it's a very powerful effect.
Indeed. Well, thank you, Greg. All right. Well, blessings to everyone who has been our guest on the second part of the World Sound Healing Day Global Harmonization Special with me, Jonathan Goldman.
And Andy Goldman.
On HealthyLife.net. And we still got more to come, including at the last 10 minutes, we've got this wonderful divine name meditation that you're going to be listening to. We're going to be talking more about that. But Greg was talking about particular group of numbers, and our next guest is Lynn McTaggart, who, among other things, she's an author, she's a scientist, she's a researcher, she's the author of The Field, The Intention Experiment, and her latest book is The Power of Eight. And rather than saying anything more, let us simply listen. I want to welcome you back. And let us listen to what Lynn's got to say about intention, the power of altruism, and the power of eight. Okay, welcome back to this The Healing Sound Show with me, Jonathan Goldman, your host, my very special guest, Lynn McTaggart. So we were talking about some of the, interesting things that have occurred through your intention experiments, and do you have any idea why it works?
Why does intention work?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that we are tapping into, a lot of people have been trying to theorize why thoughts would affect reality. And, I mean, there's two possible mechanisms. There are many possible mechanisms. But one of the ideas that has been floated around a lot is that, you know, there is an all-pervasive consciousness that is essentially the ground state of all living things, and that we have access to all of that. A number of scientists have looked at something that's been really overlooked in quantum physics, which is that, that first of all, particles, when we talk about subatomic particles, aren't particles at all. They're vibrating packets of energy, and they trade energy back and forth like an endless game of tennis. And in that trade, virtual particles get created, and they just stay for the blink of an eye. But they create this enormous field, which is called the zero-point field. And it's called that because this activity happens even in temperatures that approach absolute zero. There's two important things about this, which is that waves, when we talk about quantum entities, or quantum entities, if you want to call them, encode information. And whenever they bump into each other, they take on the information of the other. And so, essentially, this zero-point field, theoretically, is a mothership of everything that's ever happened, essentially. Everything in the world. And also, waves have not only an infinite capacity for storage, but they also they go on forever, essentially. And so we can really be in touch with everything at every moment. So the thinking is that there is this all-pervasive field, which is a consciousness, and that we can tap into it because we are all part of that, and direct it, and kind of nudge it in a different direction.
With regard to the power of eight, you know, people are always wondering, well, what is the, you know, how many people are necessary to shift and change reality? Very recently, my wife Andy and I were with a small group of people, and we did some intentionalized sound together. And I have to admit that I was literally floored from my crown chakra to my toes in terms of the energy that was put out by these people, because they were very high. And, you know, I had said beforehand that, you know, in a lot of different traditions they talk about either 72 avatars or 32 sadakam or something like that, a small number of beings who literally help create balance on our planet. And this is really what, on a level, the power of eight is bringing to mind. And number one, how'd you find eight? Can fewer and fewer people get together and somehow create the field and shift and change reality? Would that be a correct assumption?
Yes. I mean, that's really when I scaled it down with the power of eight. But that was I stumbled onto it, basically. We tested power of eight groups. And by that I mean just a small group of eight people doing group intentions together, where they'd hold each other's hands, they'd figure out an intention for somebody, member of the group, and they'd hold it, and they'd found this extraordinary energy happening with just eight people, and also extraordinary effects. So, because this happened over and over again in my workshops, I decided to study this from every angle. You know, probably the biggest bulletproof vest I have discovered in the power of eight is the power of altruism. You know, there's nothing that is more healing than altruism.
And how would you define altruism?
Thinking of somebody besides yourself doing a selfless act. I mean, certainly we looked into this because a lot of what I have people do with my power of eight groups is getting off themselves. Don't intend for yourself, intend for somebody else, either in the group or outside the group. And hundreds of my people, if not thousands, have found that when they get off of themselves, their lives start working. And if you look at the evidence, the scientific evidence about altruism, you'll find that people who are doing the praying for someone else, they usually do better physically than the people who are getting prayed for, even if they have the same conditions. People who consistently do things for other people and do altruistic acts, live longer, have happier lives. So in every regard, it is a bulletproof vest, because using intention for other people really works and has an amazing rebound effect.
I love it. I love it. That is indeed Lynn McTaggart talking about the power of intention. Welcome back to the World Sign Healing Day show. It is February 14th, and I am with my extraordinary co-host and lovely wife, Andy. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Jonathan. And, Jonathan, I want to just say once again a very special thank you to Linda McKenzie and Jay Cruz for so graciously allowing us to be able to have this beautiful celebration of back-to-back shows. So a two-hour World Sound Healing Day.
Nice. And thank you for everybody who's listening and who's been signing along with us. And, you know, we are about to now do a very special, what I call, Divine Name Global Healing Meditation. And the Divine Name is something that I initially co-created with Greg Braden, who was a speaker a few minutes ago, and it's just wonderful. It's from Hay House, and speaking about Hay House, just want to suggest that if you go to our website, healingsounds.com, you'll see a very special offer from Hay House about this sonic seminar that I'm doing. So I just want to tell you about that on this fabulous day, World Sound Healing Day. So what is the Divine Name? What is the Divine Name?
What is the Divine Name, Jonathan? It has just got such a beautiful, shall we say, ring to it.
Right.
The Divine Name.
That was a name that literally came to me, oh, many years ago, more than a dozen, at least years ago, when I remember I was sleeping on the couch of our dear friend Sarah Benson and Don Beeman, and I awoke and this voice said, you know, we want you to make the sound of the chakras, but instead of going from the root to the crown, go from the crown to the root and back up again. And I did it, and not only did the energetically go from the top of my head to the base of my spine back up again, but also I heard this ancient sacred name that could be called the Tetragrammaton. It's the name, literally, that Moses was given on Mount Sinai by the burning bush, and at the same time, it's a name composed completely of vowel sounds, so I like to perceive it as being a universal name. And ever since I first, you know, created this recording and then released the book, The Divine Name, I've gotten feedback from people from so many different traditions about how this sound is sound, everything from Native American to various Sanskrit traditions.
And Jonathan, I think that, you know, the fact that this sound is made up just of vowel sounds, it really is universal. And it doesn't have anything other than, hey, these are vowel sounds in a particular sequence.
So, yeah, thank you, Andy. So this, what we're going to be doing now is listening to a very special recording, and I'm going to be first guiding you into that heart-brain coherence type of phenomena, which is so very, very good. And then for this one, we're simply going to be listening with the energy of our consciousness and our heart so that we can basically become a resonant tuning fork to project light and love through the sound that we're listening to our beloved Gaia Matrix, to our beloved planet.
And what a beautiful way to end our celebration of World Sound Healing Day radio show. And once again, thank you to all of our listeners and to all of the beautiful people that will be sounding literally throughout this entire day.
And keep sounding throughout the day. Don't forget to go to worldsoundhealingday.org and let us listen to the fabulous Divine Name meditation right now. I can't wait. This is the first time this is aired.
This meditation is designed for us to attune with higher realms of consciousness while simultaneously projecting the energies of love and compassion to ourselves and to the Gaia Matrix, our Mother Earth. I'll be leading you in an exercise that will create coherence of your heart and your brain your body and your mind. In addition, we will listen to the sound of the divine name, and as we do, we will experience and generate the energy of peace and love for ourselves and our planet. Global harmonization. Now, please begin by slowly taking nice deep breaths in and nice deep breaths out. Breathing in, holding it for a moment, and then releasing it. As you continue breathing in this manner, the first thing I'd like you to do is think of something that you feel appreciation for, gratitude for, something that you feel good about. It can be a person, an offspring, a spouse, a sibling, a parent, a friend, a loved one, or it can be a pet or a beautiful sunrise somewhere, or perhaps a mountain stream or the ocean. Visualize and think of something that you really feel appreciation for and really feel gratitude for. Feel this appreciation and gratitude in your heart center. Feel whatever it is that you feel grateful for, and as you're breathing in and breathing out, just think of whatever this is. And as you're doing this breathing slowly and deeply, you'll be feeling the energy of appreciation and gratitude. Visualize that you are breathing in not only through your nose or your mouth, but also that your breath is going in and out through your heart. As you're breathing in, the breath is going in through your heart. As you're breathing out, the breath is going out through your heart. Breathing in, breathing out. Breathing in, breathing out. Visualize the energy going in and out through your heart as you're breathing, while you're still feeling the energy of appreciation. This is a very easy way of creating a powerful heart activation that you're going to amplify very soon through listening to sacred sound. Now, I'd like you to visualize the Earth floating in space. And continue visualizing the Earth, knowing that as we listen to these sacred sounds, that we'll be resonating within us and without us, helping bring forth the energies of love and compassion to all beings on our planet. And now it's time to listen to the sounds of the divine name. As we hear this name, we will feel love and compassion for ourselves and our planet. Experience yourself resonating in a field of divine loving energy for all beings on our planet and for our planet itself, bringing the energy of global harmonization, peace and healing to the Gaia Matrix.
Well, that was the first time that this has ever aired, and I have to admit that listening to it was a very powerful experience for me. How was it for you, Andy?
Jonathan, it was a very powerful experience that generated, I could just feel it, as Greg said, I could feel the love, I could feel the peace, the harmony, the healing. So thank you, Jonathan, for creating that and bringing it forth on our special celebration.
Well, blessings be, and we thank. So that was the divine name, my friends, and you're with me, Jonathan Goldman.
And Andy Goldman on HealthyLife.net.
And this is, we're coming to the end of our fabulous 2-hour World Sound Healing Day special, our global harmonization special, designed to talk about how sound and consciousness can shift and heal our planet, and to listen to sounds and make sounds to do the same.
And Jonathan, once again, all the people on our planet that are facilitating groups.
Anytime you sound today, if you feel you know, a minute or 5 minutes of another time, you can go to the Temple of Sacred Sounds. You can go do whatever you want. Go to healingsounds.com. But make sound. Project your intentionalized consciousness. And with that, I'd like to invite you back next month to our next show. It's going to be a great, great show. So I want to thank everyone, HealthyLife.net. I want to thank everyone who has listened. And, hey, Joan, I know you're out there. Hey, blessings to you. And we will speak to you all next month.
Thank you all, and many blessings of love and light through sound.